You're with SBS Radio.
Waitamooli and welcome to NITV Radio. I'm Kerry Lee Harding. It's that time of the week again where we check in and talk all things science and technology with Ray Johnston, our editor of science and technology at NITV. Welcome to the program, Ray.
Thanks for having me, Sis. How are you?
I'm good, Sis, this afternoon. Lovely to have you back on again.
Oh, it's great to be on. Highlight of my week, as always.
Too deadly, Sis. Now, the first thing we're going to talk about today, as I talk to you, I've got a cup of coffee in my hand, and new research shows us just how bad six or more cups of coffee a day can be for one's health. Tell me more about this.
I hope that's only your first or second cup of coffee, Carolee, but I have a feeling it might be your third.
It's about my third. That's a really good guess, my sister.
So we've got about 3 billion cups of coffee consumed every single day all around the world. And we do see a lot of research about coffee coming out, but it is because it is drank by so many people in so many different cultures everywhere that, you know, scientists really want to know as much about it as possible. And this is a world-first genetic study that has been done in Australia at the Australian Centre for Precision Health, which is out of the University of South Australia. And it's found that long-term heavy coffee consumption, so we are talking 6 or more cups a day, it can increase the amount of lipids or fats that are in your blood, and it significantly increases your risk of cardiovascular disease. And cardiovascular disease, you know, it's the number one cause of death globally. You know, 17.9 million people are lost every year to it. So it's important to know what the causes of it may be, and it looks like coffee may be a big one. And this study, importantly, it found the more coffee you drink, the greater the risk. And it's because coffee beans, they contain a very strong ingredient that increases cholesterol that's called cafestol. Now, this cafestol is mainly found in unfiltered coffee, so French press or Turkish and Greek coffees, but it's also in espressos, so your lattes and your cappuccinos. Mm. But some good news is there's very little or no cafestol in instant coffee. So if you're looking to keep your cholesterol low and lower your risk of cardiovascular disease, but you want to keep drinking lots of coffee, the old international roast or Makona is a good choice.
Yeah, all right for some people. I don't know about for me, though, Sis, to be honest.
Worth the risk to have a good one.
Yeah, I feel like now returning the coffee machine I've just recently bought from a shop, I'm probably drinking a bit too much coffee and I think I do need to cut down.
Keeping it to those 3 cups a day and I think you're going to be fine. But yeah, if you find yourself getting up to 6, I think you might have to return it.
I think so, Sis. That's really important new research there. Just shows how much, you know, 6 or more coffees can be bad for you each day. I had no idea.
Yeah, and it is a lot, to be fair. 6 or more coffees is a lot of coffee. So I don't think there's many people out there that are drinking that much. But if you are, it's time to cut back.
Okay, Sis, got you. Let's go now from talking about coffee to talking about fossil lizards. And I understand that a new Australian fossil lizard is the oldest skink on record. Like, how old are we talking, Ray?
We're talking 25 million years old is this skink.
Wow.
And his name is Mike, and he's an ancestor of today's blue-tongued lizards. And he was found in central South Australia. So there was a remote expedition to this large inland salt lake, Lake Pimpa. It was back in 2017, and it's been responsible for finding the fossil ancestors of wombats and platypus and kangaroos and even the thylacine. And now it can add the blue-tongued lizard to the list. And his name is Mike, or Mike Bully, in honour of Flinders University lizard researcher, Professor Mike Bull. That name hasn't come from nowhere. Mm. And paleontologists and volunteers from Flinders and from the South Australian Museum, they focused on parts of the lake, which is about 7 hours' drive north of Adelaide, where other fossils were previously unearthed. And this is an area that was once lush and green, and they found the koala's ancestors, and they found the remains of prehistoric fish and dolphins and crocodiles.
Wow.
But lizard fossils, they're tiny, and they're often too small to be identified on the spot when they've been dug up out you know, in the field. And they're made of more than 20 individual little bones that all break apart when they become fossils as well. But they've still managed to find these fossils in an area the size of 1 million soccer fields. And once they found them, they popped them in the fossil in the evolutionary tree of lizards. And that's when they discovered that Mike was an early member of the skink family. So he sits alongside blue tongues and shinglebacks and land mullets and spiny-tailed skinks. And because he is the oldest fossil evidence of this whole group of lizards, Mike will also help us to pinpoint the timing of the arrival of them to this continent, which is really interesting.
So we're talking their arrival was around 25 million years ago, sis?
At least. So it could be a lot older. We could end up finding a fossil that is 30 million years old further down the track. But this is the oldest one that we have so far. So we do know that those lizards have been here for at least 25 million years.
Good on you, Mike. The oldest skink on record. Gotta love that, right?
I love it when they give them real names.
Just keeping it real. Keeping it real, sis. Yeah.
It's great.
Now we go from Mike to talking about bees. You know I love a good bee story, so thanks for bringing one on board this week. I couldn't resist this one. There's been a lot of buzz, excuse the pun, recently about bees' ability to do maths. What can you tell us more about this?
Yeah, so we actually covered this story a little while ago about bees being able to do complex maths problems. And it turns out that it's a little bit too good to be true and that they were actually cheating.
No way!
By using visual clues rather than numbers to solve problems. So there was a whole team of researchers that looked at this, and they gave honeybees the task of solving a maths problem. And they found that just like the rest of us, they'd rather take a shortcut, and they estimated amounts using visual cues rather than working with exact numbers like they thought they were doing previously.
Yeah.
But what they found is the scientists say that this study shows how good bees are at finding the most effective way to solve a problem. And it might be quite different from how we would solve it. So we're still learning. Even though bees probably can't do maths, we can still learn from how they solve maths problems, which is by using other clues instead.
Now we go from talking about bees and the fact that they were probably cheating when it comes to maths to possibly chatting to someone and even doing maths while you're asleep. Now, this is quite interesting, this science news out today.
I love this story. So dreams can, they take us to what feels like a different reality. And they also happen while we're fast asleep. So you might not expect that a person in the midst of a vivid dream would be able to hear and understand questions and then answer them. But this new study shows that that can absolutely happen. And while dreams are a common experience, most of us have them, scientists still haven't explained them properly. So researchers decided to attempt communication with people during lucid dreams, which is dreams that you have when you know that you're dreaming. I've had these a few times, sis, but not very often. And they got some people that have lucid dreams quite a lot, and they said that it was possible for these people while dreaming to follow instructions and do simple maths or answer yes and no questions. And they got them to respond by using eye movements or by moving their facial muscles. And it's created this whole new category of dreaming, which they now call interactive dreaming. And they hope that this research can help people in a number of different ways, like solving sleep problems or even offering nightmare sufferers new ways to cope. And now they're going to look at experiments between the connections between sleep and memory based on this research. So there's some really exciting stuff coming out of it, and I can't wait to see what happens with it.
Sounds really deadly, sis. I do have a cousin, and she does sleep eat. So while she's asleep, she eats food, sis, which is, I find, extraordinary. Yeah.
There is actually a woman on TikTok. I wish I could remember her handle, but I'll tweet it or something so that people can see it. And she records herself sleepwalking, and she also sleep eats. And it is, sis, I swear, the funniest stuff that you will ever see. It's a real crack up. So I think there's lots of strange things that we do when we're sleeping, but I never knew we could do maths. So there you go.
There you go. I didn't know we could do maths while we're asleep either, or nor the possibility of chatting to someone while we're asleep, sis. So thank you so much for educating me on all that and more today on our regular science and technology segment. Ray Johnston, editor of Science and Technology at NITV. Thanks for your time today, sis.
Anytime.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.